Today is Quinquagesima Sunday. The epistle is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Brethren, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. And if I should have all prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I should have all faith so that I should remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And if I should distribute all my goods to feed the poor, and if I should deliver my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity is patient, is kind. Charity envieth not, dealeth not perversely, is not puffed up, is not ambitious, seeketh not her own, is not provoked to anger, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth with the truth. It beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never falleth away. Whether prophecy shall be made void, or tongues shall cease, or knowledge shall be destroyed. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away the things of a child. We see now through a glass in a dark manner, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as I am now, even as I am known. And now there remaineth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. The Holy Gospel. It's taken from Luke chapter 18. At that time Jesus took unto him the 12 and said to them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things shall be accomplished which were written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man. For he shall be delivered to the Gentiles, and shall be mocked and scourged and spit upon. And after they have scourged him, they will put him to death, and the third day he shall rise again. And they understood none of these things, and this word was hid from them, and they understood not the things that were said. Now it came to pass, when he drew nigh to Jericho, that a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And when he heard the multitude passing by, he asked what this meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he cried out, saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And they that went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried out much more, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus standing commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, What wilt thou that I do to thee? But he said, Lord, that I may see. And Jesus said to him, Receive thy sight, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he saw and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. Thus ends the Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. How can we not be taken by the goodness of God when we see what gifts He gives to us? How can we turn away from God when he see what power he has put into the human soul? In this very famous epistle today, St. Paul, in his epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 13, he expounds on this greatest of commandments, on this new commandment, the commandment of charity. And if we want to know something of God, we want to know something about our redemption and the plan of God, then we must understand very well this law of charity, this commandment of charity. If we want to see something truly great, something worthy of our attention, then we must look at charity. When man lost grace, by the original sin, he lost supernature. He lost sanctifying grace, which is, of course, supernatural. And man was left merely with a wounded human nature. He was left on the natural level. But when God, of course, came, when our Lord came, He merited for us a chance to resume that supernature, a chance to resume sanctifying grace. Man before, he could not know about God, except, of course, by revelation. He could only know of God by what he saw in the natural world, trying to apply that back to God, and then in a very vague way, trying to love God in that way, in a very immediate and indirect way. But our Lord, in coming, in meriting grace for us, by his passion and death, we are given a new revelation. And by faith, we are able to know God far more clearly, and therefore to correspond to that faith with its proper act, by an act of charity. Just as love follows from knowledge of something good, so by charity we follow up our faith by loving God, by loving Him directly. So we see that charity begot charity by the love of our Lord Jesus Christ, by His passion. We are able to love God. You see, however, it is for Himself that God dies for us. It is for Himself that God dies for us, because God can only love Himself. The finite cannot be the object of divine love. We are not worthy of God's love. The finite cannot be an object of divine love, and so when a soul goes to hell, God ceases to love that soul for all eternity. He can cease to love that soul, because that soul can't be redirected towards Himself. God cannot love something as an ultimate end beyond Himself. And so God, in loving us, which we do say in all truth, God, in loving us, He loves Himself. For by loving us, He gives us the capacity to love Him. It is the reason why we have such a mixed up view of love. Because we think that the finite can be loved. We think that the creature can be loved for itself. Only the infinite can satisfy the desire of our wills. Only God can be the ultimate object of love. As St. Augustine says, "Our hearts are restless until they rest in Thee, O Lord." For God, charity consists in being loved. But it's not the same for us. For us, charity consists in loving. Charity consists in giving. That charity which our Lord merited for us is, of course, infused into our souls at our baptism. It is directly infused into our souls by God. And it is a virtue which remains in the soul. It remains as long as sanctifying grace remains. But because it is a virtue, therefore a habit, it exists there in the soul and can be used at will. Just as a person who knows how to play a specific instrument, or just as a person who knows how to play a specific sport, can, whenever he wants, take up that instrument or take up that sport and play it. So likewise, these habits, this virtue of charity, can at any time be taken up as long as it is acquired. As long as it is infused into the soul at baptism or by the confession. Charity is in the soul, and so it can be used at any time. It can be used for its proper act, which is an act of love, an act of charity, an act of love whereby the lover is united with the loved, whereby we are united with God if we are speaking of supernatural charity. By this act of charity, we can be directly and immediately united with God at any time. It's the thing that we must examine ourselves on when we come to the end of the day. Have I made use of this gift of God? Sicheres donum Dei, if you only knew the gift of God, said our Lord to the Samaritan woman. If you only knew this great gift which God gives. If we only knew how beautiful it is for the human soul to be united to God by an act of charity. It has made the saints weep for joy. Charity is the gift of gifts. It is the absolute gift. And anything done with charity is holy. It's meritorious. But anything done without charity is worthless. It's something that we must remember that in all the duties of the day, in all the hubbub, that we have this principle of charity, that we have this principle whereby we can be united with God. Father, I don't have time to do spiritual reading. I don't have time for a meditation. Fine, perhaps you don't, but you have charity in your soul wherever you go, and no matter what you do. The most beautiful thing about this virtue is that it cannot be lost unless, of course, we give it away. God will not exercise us beyond our capacity. He will not tempt us beyond what we can handle. And He will not leave our souls unless we drive Him out. Unless we say to Him, go away, for I want nothing else. I want this other thing besides you. Go away, I want this finite thing instead of your infinite goodness. And this is the greatest tragedy, to throw away the greatest gift of God for something that is nothing, to sell our birthright for a mess of pottage, to trade a diamond for mud. It makes the angels weep to see souls that give away this gift of God. And yet these angels hold back the hand of divine justice, enraged at our ingratitude. How can we overlook the only thing that really matters? How can we cast it away for something that is truly low and vulgar? That we will not guard this treasure of charity with all of our life and efforts, that we will not make it grow and plant its roots very deeply, that is a great tragedy. If the world is so crazy, it's because it knows nothing of charity, of true charity. If we live in such a sugary, sweet world, which always needs its consolations, it's because it doesn't know true charity. It doesn't know the true joy of giving or of having received true affection. Charity does not exist in the world. Sure, it may talk about love all of the time. Sure, it may talk about hearts and flowers and a whole bunch of other sensual things, especially on this Saint Valentine's Day. But these things have nothing to do with charity. There is the mold on the bread. To call these love is like calling the mold bread. These things are the corruption of charity. We're certainly not telling you not to go to our rose sale today. Charity, of course, can express itself. It should express itself in these little things. But it doesn't exist in these things. It doesn't exist in these things. It comes from the soul. The world knows nothing of true charity. True charity which seeks good for the other. Charity which draws the other to its end and not to self. It draws the other and pushes the other to their end. If our families are often such a disaster, it's because true affection is not shown. It's because somewhere the children are missing the true affection which unites them with their parents, which makes them truly capable of loving another later in their life. We must always remember that in order to truly love, in order to truly and to deeply love, there must be suffering. Charity is essentially linked with suffering. The saints knew this link very well, and it was expressed to them by our Lord. Our Lord, appearing to Saint Gemma, told her very clearly, "Do you wish to love?" She, of course, responded, "Yes, Lord." He said, "Learn first to suffer. Suffering teaches one to love." Likewise to Saint Pio, he was also told by our Lord that it is the ones that suffer that are going to be brought to a greater charity. "Beneath," said our Lord, "beneath the cross, one learns to love, and I do not grant this to everyone, but only to those souls who are the dearest to me. I want your soul to be purified by a daily hidden martyrdom. Do not be frightened if I allow the devil to torment you, and the world to disgust you, and your dearest and nearest to afflict you. For nothing will prevail against those who groan under the cross of love for me, and whom I have taken care to protect." Countless other saints echo these words of our Lord, and they realize that it is impossible to truly love our Lord unless we suffer. This principle not only goes for the supernatural, but even for the natural. Namely, that suffering and love always go together. Our Lord himself says it, "There is no greater love than that a man lay down his life for his friends." Self-sacrifice is the litmus test for love. If it does not exist, then it is not love. It is selfish. It is sensual, however you want to call it, but it won't last because it's not true charity. And for those who might be courting, those who might be thinking about marriage, unless you see in that person a willingness to suffer for you, to sacrifice their selves for you, even in the details, that person is not worthy of your affection. You will test their worthiness in trials and in sufferings in your courtship, not when all is well, not when all is good. Suffering is a means, but it's the surest means to love. It's the surest means to true charity. Let us thank God for this seed that he plants in our souls, this seed of charity. Charity is the greatest gift of God. It's our ticket into heaven, in fact. And if we show up without it, we won't be allowed in. But if we do try and keep it, if we in fact try and make it grow and fructify, then we can be sure that we will keep it. We must remember that this virtue has to imbue everything in our life, that it must grow daily, that our day is not worth living, that our day is worthless without this virtue. A whole kingdom can be built in our souls by charity, a kingdom where our Lord will be pleased to dwell. where he is firmly entrenched by constant acts of charity on our part. Charity does not necessarily mean that we are loved, but that we do love. Even if no one loves us here below, even if we're the offscouring of the world, we can still have the charity, and to a saintly degree. Let us imitate the Sacred Heart, who indeed loves, but whose love is seldom reciprocated. Let us keep the Sacred Heart in view during this coming Lent, to make it a fruitful one, to make it a Lent where we love in union with the Sacred Heart, to make it a fruitful Lent, one worthy of a friend of the Sacred Heart. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.